Morning. Today's daf in Horios is daf A. We're on the Mishnah Dalet Amud Beis. There are a number of Mishnahs on the daf. We have the second to last Mishnah. It's toward the bottom of the Amud. It is the first wide line. More discussion, more details regarding this special carbon that's brought. Majority of the Jewish people are violating the Torah based on an erroneous ruling made by Beis Din. So there is a carbon parhelm davar shel tzibur. We've been discussing it now the last 3 days. Fourth day of our discussion. This discussion encompasses the entire first parak of the Masechta. The Mishnah starts off with the following scenario. Horror Basin Shogim Vasukal Akal Shogim Evian Par. So if Basin comes up with an erroneous ruling, meaning they were incorrect, but they made a mistake. A human error. And they issued a ruling, and the people follow the ruling also erroneously. So everyone is under the state of Shogate, so that is the classic example where you bring a par. There's a requirement and obligation for the carbon. However, mizidin vasu shogigin mivin kisva v'sira. But let's say Beis Din issued an incorrect ruling, but they did so intentionally. They did so deliberately. It is unfathomable that the Beis Din would do such a thing. I don't think. It's just my opinion.
But who would know about that?
I don't think the Mishnah is giving this as a point of what would be the halach in this case. I think the Mishnah is just simply contrasting all the different scenarios, meaning that we're going to be talking about shogig on the part of the people, maze on the part of people, shogig on the part of Beis Din, meaning I think it's just the Mishnah's classic scenario in which it just contrasts all the different cases and just highlights that the only case where you bring a par is where there's a shogig on one side and a shogig on the other side as well. Okay, the Mishnah does entertain it. So mezidin vasu shogigim, if you have the Beis Din issuing a ruling b'mezid, and the people are following it b'shogig, so kisva v'sira. So now there's no longer a halach of tliya, meaning again, the whole idea behind par is that it's no longer the responsibility and the fault of the people, as they were following the p'saka Beis Din. Beis Din has their carbon to bring because they erroneously ruled. Over here, it was an incorrect ruling, but it wasn't done by mistake, it was done on purpose. So therefore there's no carbon, and therefore, because there's no parlam davar shel tzibur, therefore the people have to bring kisva v'sira, meaning they have to bring their own individual carbon chatas. Shogigin vasu mezidin harelu peturim. If, let's say, Beis Din came up with an erroneous psak, and it was a mistake, it was a human error, and the people knew better. Again, it's hard to imagine, hard to understand what the scenario is, where the people know better. Meaning, we talked in the beginning of the Masechta about people on the bench knowing better, and people who are eligible to be on the bench knowing better. But it's a really unusual and strange scenario where Beis Din's making a mistake and everyone knows, they're making a mistake. But you know what though? Let's take advantage of their mistake. They made a mistake. They said chalev is mutar. I've always been wanting to eat chalev. So you know what? Let's go ahead. Let's eat it. So under those circumstances, pater, there's no obligation to bring a parhelm davar shel tzibur. That is only required when the Beis Din was in error and the people following the ruling of Beis Din were also in error as well. Now, shoking of asu mezidin, hari elu peturim. The Gemara starts off with the following diuk. The case in the Mishnah is where the Beis Din came up with an erroneous ruling and it was human error, and the people are following it, but they're doing so b'mezid. So in that case, you're pater. That's what the Mishnah taught us. Hashogig dumya de mezid chayav. Now, let's say that it's shogig, but it's really close to mezid. Like, let's say, for example, hechidami, shor Beis Din shechelav mutav, and it's chayav lo b'shuman v'achlo. So let's say we have the following scenario where Beis Din issued a ruling that chel was mutter. And you know Beis Din was wrong. You know it. But you know what? You say to yourself, I wonder, I'm just curious. What does chel taste like? Well, you know what? Beis Din issued a ruling that was okay. I know it's not okay, but I'm going to try it. So he sits down and he now attempts to eat chel. However, instead of chel being put in front of him, Shuma was put in front of him, permitted fat was put in front of him. Vachlo. So the Gemara says, and under those circumstances, he eats it. So now, Tishad Ha Rami Bar Chama. Now, this question, as unusual as it is, should sound oddly familiar because we already dealt with this question once before. Rami Bar Chama asked this question before, where it was basically now turning into a double question. One is, you could be told on the Pesach Basin, and two is, you have also the two fats get mixed up together. And is there going to be a requirement to bring a carbon in such a scenario? So the Gemara says, so Rami Bar Chama asked a question earlier, he didn't resolve the question, so why don't we resolve the question now? So the Gemara says, because if it's just our Mishnah alone, don't allow that to become now a point to make a deal. Because, like I said in the beginning of the Mishnah, the Mishnah's purpose over here is not necessarily to iron out the cases of what if Basin was Mazin, what if the people were Shogig? What if Basin was Shogig and the people were Mazin? The Mishnah's real point, the central point, is that the Par Helm Dover Shel Sibra is only qualified, only eligible in a situation where you're Shogig on both ends, both on the part of Basin and on the part of the people. Then and only then there's a Par. If on either side there's a Mazid, so then there's no problem with Dover Shel Sibra. That's the real point. That's the essential point of the Mishnah. So don't make diyukim on the cases of the Mishnah where one's Mazid, the other Shogig, because in those cases they're just there to highlight that you only need a Par in the case where they're both Shogig. Okay. We start the Mishnah, and this Mishnah will take us through really the entirety of today's daf. This Mishnah now is going to be talking about whose responsibility is it to bring the Par Helm Dover Shel Sibra. Meaning, we know that if the majority of the Jewish people sin, so now they're based on an erroneous ruling of the Pesach of Beis Din, so there is a carbon, a Par Helm Dover Shel Sibra. It is not perfectly clear in the Torah who's responsible to bring that carbon. I would say that the most likely suspect is going to be Beis Din. Meaning, who made the mistake? Beis Din made the mistake. Yeah, the people carried it out, but the people were just following what Beis Din told them to do. Beis Din said it was okay, so it's okay. So if I didn't know any better, if I were left to my own devices, I would have told you that it's Beis Din. Beis Din's the one responsible to bring this carbon. It's their mistake. As we're going to see in the course of this Mishnah, there are going to be three options on this matter. I know, that's amazing. That's amazing, three options. But there's going to be three options. I could count a fourth as well, maybe I should. But anyway, but amazingly enough, there are going to be three options. So let's go through the Mishnah. It'll be really helpful, not only for today, but like in other words, for the rest of our lives, if we can remember the Shitas, so that, in other words, a lot of today's Gemara is going to be juggling the Shitas around. So it'd be really good if you remember the Shitas from the beginning. So Harav Basin Vasukol Akal, oh Ruban Alpiyam. So let's say Basin issued a ruling and the entire congregation or the majority of them followed the erroneous ruling of Basin. Mivin Par Vavodas Kocham Mivin Par Vaseir. So if it's a regular Isser, now remember, throughout this parak of Shas, whenever I say regular Isser, I mean one of the Chiyuv Krisus, one of the Chayvei Krisus. Meaning that the only time the Paralam Dav Shel Sibra is required is only when they are following the ruling of Beis Din on something like Chalev, Dam. In other words, any one of the 34 Lavim in the Torah that coupled with it, the Chiyuv Kares. So, if they issued a ruling on any one of these issues, so you have to bring, the Beis Din has to bring a Par. And now when it comes to Avodah Zarah, and we're going to talk about this much more extensively in the next parak, that let's say the ruling had to do with Avodah Zarah. So Avodah Zarah also is an Issur Kares. However, Avodah Zarah has a special carbon to it, not mentioned in Vayikra and Parak Dalet, but it's in Parshas Bamidbar. We'll talk more about it in the next parak. All we need to know right now is that for the violation of Avodah Zarah based on an erroneous ruling of Beis Din, so it's not a par, it's par v'seir. It's a bull and a goat. Again, we'll get to that later. So, but in the meantime, however, who brings it? Beis Din brings it. Divrei Reb Meir, this is the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Yehuda Omer, Yud Beis Shvatim Mivin, Yud Beis Parim, Uvavodas Kochavim, Mivin, Yud Beis Parim, Ushnei Masar Seirim. The Shita Reb Yehuda is like this. No, it's not Beis Din who brings it. You know who brings it? The Kal brings it, the congregation brings it. And one more point over. And that is that according to Reb Yehuda, not only do we say that the Kal brings it, but we also say that every Shevet is treated like a Kahal. Meaning that we have the larger congregation, and of course, we are also divided amongst Yud Beis Shvatim. We're also 12 tribes. In that regard also, we are considered like every tribe itself is a Kal. So therefore, if you have a ruling of the Beis Din, and the majority of the Jewish people are following it, so that means to say now that every Shevet is going to have to bring their own carbon, their own Parhelim Dover Shel Sibra. Meaning Sibra here means every Shevet. So that would now mean if the entire Jewish people followed it, 12 Parim. And if it's Avodah Zarah, 12 Parim and 12 Seirim. Okay. What is the machlokas between Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda? So we're going to see the Gemara. The Gemara is going to base it on Svaras and Drashas. But it's very simple, however, to connect this Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda to a point that we discussed earlier, and that is who's financially responsible to pay for the Par Helm Dover Shel Sibra. Early we saw that too was a machlokas. So the easiest way to explain the machlokas from Rameh and Rabbi Yehuda over here, it's not so much an explanation, it's more like a correlation. But a simple correlation is that Reb Meir says that it's Basin's responsibility. They're also of the opinion that Basin has to pay for that carbon. Masha'en came according to Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it's the people's responsibility, so that means that it's public money. It's the people who have to pay for it. How is that money raised? We already discussed earlier, we debated earlier. Is that a special assessment that's made? Is it something that's collected from already public funds? So that we discussed earlier. But anyway, so that sheet is number one and two. So we have Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir says that the carbon is brought by the Beis Din. Rav Yehuda is of the opinion that the carbon is brought by the people. And in that, an additional point, people over here means shvatim, which means that if 12 shvatim sin, 12 carbonas are going to be brought. And now, as we turn to the top of Haman Aleph, here's the third sheet, and that's the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Shosha Saparim, Ovavos Kochavim, Shosha Saparim, Shosha Sarsirim, Parvis Ir Lacholsheva Veshevet, Parvis Ir Lebezdim. And Rabbi Shimon says both. Rabbi Shimon takes a hybrid approach, and that is that there's a double requirement to bring the Parhelm Davashol Tzibor. Once on the part of Bezdin, and another on the part of the people as well. And again, when we say the people, we're dividing that among Shvatim. So there, you can have a maximum number of 13 karbanos being brought. Beis Din issued a ruling. The people followed it. All this was done by Shogeg. So now, according to Rabbi Shimon, there are going to be 13 karbanos that are brought. Hor Beis Din v'asu. The Mishnah continues. Now, the Mishnah discusses the following scenario. Let's say Beis Din issued a ruling, and of that, Shiva Shvatim, O, Ruvan, Al Pian. So let's say now not all 12 tribes follow it, but 7 of the 12 tribes follow it. So now we have a scenario where you have 7 of the 12, 7 obviously represents the majority. Now the Mishnah says O Ruban. Now it could be that it's the majority of those tribes, those 7, or it could be talking about the majority of the Jewish people, but for our purposes right now, let's just keep it at the majority of those 7. Keep it nice and simple. So in those cases, Mivian Par, Mivian Par. So Basin's responsibility now is to bring a par, meaning you have now hit the majority. Uva avodas kochavim. Now when it comes to avodas zar, mevi'en, par visir. So again, because it's avodas zar, because it has a unique characteristic, a unique carbon that's associated with it, so it's par visir, not just par. Divrei Meir, this is the opinion of Rav Meir. So basically right now in this next case in the Mishnah, for Rav Meir, nothing changed. Meaning...
What's changed? Because the seven tribes may not be the majority.
Right. Okay. Very good. Oh, good. Excellent. You beat me to that point, but that's good. So nothing effectively has changed. Meaning, it's a majority of the Jewish people, and the Beis Din has the requirement to bring the carbon. Maybe according to Rav Meir, what's happening over here is the chiddush is that you don't have. In other words, again, I gave the example before. It's a good example. It's a good way to think about it. Meaning, when voting here in America, so we have. We could either count the votes by the number of people. We can go count the votes based on state, right? We have for years now, for generations, right? Since the inception, right? Electoral college came with the beginning. Yeah. Okay. So we count votes based on states. So in other words, so the discussion over here could simply be: look, maybe I don't have a majority in terms of population, but I do have a majority in terms of Shvatim. Rav Meir says, okay, you have a majority, meaning that's considered a majority, and therefore there's a requirement to bring a par. Fine. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, but now here's where it gets interesting now according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because remember, Rabbi Yehuda says, who's the responsibility to bring the carbon? The kal. And again, by kal, we mean shvatim. So now we have the majority of the shvatim that are bringing the carbon. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, shiva shvatim shechatim mevim shiva parim. That doesn't surprise any of us. The seven shvatim who sinned are going to bring, each one of them bring their own carbon, according to Rav Yehuda. And now, get ready for this, Vishar Shvatim Shalochatim Mevi'in Al Yedeyim. And the other five Shvatim are also going to bring a carbon as well. Huh. Now, they didn't sin. It's not fair. Yeah, that's right. That's right. So the Av Elu Shalochatim Mevi'in Al Yedeyim Chotim. Because Rav Yehuda has this concept, this principle, the Gemara is going to describe it as Greira. Greira, Legror, means to drag. Meaning, basically, they get dragged in, they get sucked in, even though they didn't do anything wrong. But because of the majority of the Jewish people following it, so the five Shvatim, even though they didn't sin, and even though according to Rav Yehuda, it's based on Kahal, it's not based on Beis Din, it's not based on carbon, it's the congregation's carbon, but since the majority of the Shvatim are bringing a carbon, they too are going to bring a carbon as well, so the five Shvatim are remaining also going to bring a carbon. So that is the concept of Greira.
When we look at carbonos, you can look at it in two ways, as a punishment or, wow, now we have the opportunity to cleanse. Or the door is closed, no opportunity.
Right. Generally speaking, by such a carbon, meaning it's in the parsha of Chatos, meaning it's a kapara. I mean, that's the general way to look at the kabanas, that they provide opportunity for a kapara. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mishmona Parim. So Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion that they bring eight in such a scenario. Eight, because again, Rabbi Shimon takes that hybrid approach, that it's both the congregation and it's the basin's responsibility. Now, here, the math works like this, meaning he doesn't subscribe to Greira, to this idea that the other shartim get dragged in, so therefore it's limited to now just the seven who sinned, they're going to bring the carbon, each one of them is going to bring a carbon, and basin is going to bring a carbon, so in such a circumstance, there's going to be a total of eight carbonas. Uva avodas kochavim, shmona parim, shmona seirim, parvisiyo lechoshev v'shevet, parvisiyo lebeisim. And according to Rabbi Shimon, under such a circumstance, if it's not just any of the Isure Krisus, but it's Avodah Zarah, so then it's going to be the same thing, but Parvisir for each of the seven Shvatim, Parvisir for Beis Din, eight in total. Next case in the Mishnah. Hover Beis Din Shel Echam and Shvatim. What if one of the local Supreme Courts, meaning the Supreme Court of the Shevet, right, the Ramban writes this really clearly in the beginning of Parsha Shoftim. Not only is there a Beis Din Agadol, not only is there a Supreme Court, but in addition to that, there is also, every Shevet has their own Beis Din Agadol, the Supreme Court of every Shevet. So let's say it was now, a ruling was issued by the Beis Din Shal HaShvatim, Shal Echem and HaShvatim, also Shevet Al-Pim, and the people follow their Shevet's Beis Din. Also Shevet Uchayev, Ushar Kol HaShvatim, Paterim Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. That Shevet is going to be Chayev, and all the other Shvatim are going to be Pater, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Now this represents really two Chidushim. One is that if this is considered a psak, meaning what you could have argued, what I could have argued, is that the only time that there's this parhelm davishal tzibur is only when the Beis Din Hagadol, the great Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim, is issuing a psak, and the people follow it. But over here, admit it's of course a Beis Din, but it's not the Beis Din. It's a Beis Din of the Shevet, so you could have made the argument, okay, in other words, obviously they're there to give guidance to their Shevet, but that's not necessarily considered a hora in this respect in Parhelm Davishot Tzibor. So the first chiddush according to Rav Yehuda is that it is considered a ruling regarding their Shevet, and therefore there is a requirement of Parhelm Davishot Tzibor. A second chiddush, we're not going to say Greira over here. They don't get the other Shvatim don't get dragged in. Why? Because this is not the Beis Din HaGadol. If the Beis Din HaGadol issued a psak, so then we have this idea of being of Nigrar, of the other tribes getting dragged in. But because this is only limited to the Shevet's Beis Din, so the other Shvatim don't get dragged in. So that is two Chidushim of Rav Yehuda. V'chacham omamim ein chayavan al harayos Beis Din, I'm sorry, ein chayavan ela al harayos Beis Din HaGadol bavad, shenem ravim kol adas Yisrael, velo adas oso ha-Shevet. And the Chachamim say, I object to Chiddush number one. Meaning, this is not a Horah vis-a-vis Parhelm Davishot Tzibor. Parhelm Davishot Tzibor requires the Kol Adas Yisrael, meaning you need somebody who's representing the entire Jewish people. Who's representing the entire Jewish people? Sanhedrin, the Beis Din HaGadol. Not to say, by the way, just to make this point clear, not to say that the Shevet's Beis Din is insignificant. Of course they're not insignificant. They're very significant. They're important towards their Shevet. But the vis-a-vis this halacha of Parhelm Davishot Tzibor, it doesn't create an eligibility to bring this special karma. Okay, we start with the Gemara. We're on Hamad Aleph.
So what happens then? Then each individual of that tribe should bring one?
That's a good question. I don't know. Okay, Tana Rabbana. Yadu Shaharu. Vitao Mahoru. The Gemara starts off with the following scenario. Let's say that Beis Din issued a psak. It was an erroneous psak. Let's say, for example, there were matir chelev that permitted the allowance of chelev, and then Vitao Mahoru. And it's kind of it's not unimaginable. We're all human. We all forget. Right? Just before the daf, we talked about memory. So so we're all human. We all forget. And what happened was that we helped ourselves not only to the consumption of chelev, because Beis Din ruled that it was okay, but on top of that, we the people also ate blood as well. Again, I know these cases are unusual, I know they're unlikely, but just, in other words, the Gemara here is here to make a point. So let's say Beis Din issued a ruling regarding chelev. We the people, that we started eating chelev, And as long as we got lax in chaylev, we also got lax in the consumption of blood as well. So we're eating now blood and fats, the forbidden fats. Vito mahoru. Now, it comes at a later point in time. Finally, Basin wakes up. Basin says, oh no, this is terrible. The Jewish people are eating blood and fat. Right? And so they now issued a ruling and saying, hey, we made a mistake. We made a terrible mistake. We said one of those were prohibited. And now everybody forgot which one the Basin forbade. Meaning Basin forgot, the people forgot. Meaning we know that they permitted one of those two, but we all forgot what they permitted. So here's a scenario where Basin issued a ruling. We follow the ruling. All this was Bishogeg. And then a later point in time, when trying to clarify what exactly the ruling was, so we all forgot what the ruling was. Is there a opportunity to bring a parhelm davishal tibor? Yachol yuchayav. My thought that under those circumstances you'd be chayav. Tamalomer v'noda hachata v'lo sheyivadu hachotim. In other words, there has to be a idea, there has to be knowledge, there has to be now an awareness and a specific awareness that this is what they ruled, this is what we did, and now we're bringing carbon to be mechaper on that. If it is not known at the time and we have to be told, so that doesn't qualify. So the Gemara says, Asher Chatu, the Braisa continues, Asher Chatu, so Chatu Shnei Shvatim Mevin Shnei Parim, Chatu Shlosha Mevim Shlosha. So if two Shvatim were to sin, they would bring two Parim. If three were to sin, they would bring three Parim. O Eino Omer, Ela Chatu Shnei Yechidim Mevin Shnei Parim. Chatu Shlosha Mevim Shlosha. Now the Gemara here has a Havamina, right? The Braisa is going to dispel in just a moment, but it is an interesting Havamina. Well, maybe if two individuals were to sin, they would bring two Parim. And if three individuals would sin, they would bring three Parim. But immediately the Braisa dispels that. Tamalomer Hakahal. The Torah says, Kal Chayav, Vikol Kal Vikal Chayav. Each Kal is going to be chayev, and each individual coming in, each shev is going to be chayev as well. Ketzad, chatu shnei shvatim mevi shnei parim. Chatu shiva mevi shiva. Ushar shvatim shlo chatu mevim aideim parupar. So the tribes that were chote are going to bring a carbon, and once you get to seven, so now not only are the tribes themselves going to bring a carbon, but all the other tribes are going to bring a carbon as well, even the ones that didn't sin. Afilo elu shlo chatem evin aideh chotem, lekach nemer kal, lechayev akol kal v'kal, div Rav Yehuda, and this brisa obviously represents the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Okay. Rabbi Shimon Almer, we're continuing now in the brisa. Rabbi Shimon says, Shiva, shvatim shechatem evia, shiva parim. The seven tribes who sinned are going to bring seven parim. Ubezdim evin aideh par. Shenemer lamata kal v'nemer lamala kal, because it says kal twice in the parsha. Meaning, if you open up to Vayikra Perek Dalet and you look at the two pesukim, pasuk Yud Gimel and pasuk Yud Dalet, so you will see them side by side. It says kal on both. Ma kal hamor lamala beizdin imakal af kal hamor lamata. So beizdin imakal. You look at one kal; it's clearly a reference to the beizdin. Look at the kal; it's definitely in reference to the people. So that means to say that according to Rabbi Shimon, why do we have both kahals? One to describe the people and the other to describe the Beis Din, meaning both of them responsible to bring a carbon. Rabbi Meir Omer Shiva Shvatim Shechatu Beis Din Mevin Aideh Par. And Rabbi Meir in the Braisa says that if there are seven tribes that sin, there is a requirement on Beis Din to bring a par. The Hain Paterim and the people themselves are going to be Pater, Namar Kalamata, Namar Kalamala, Makalam Lamala, Le Beis Din Velo Litzibor, Af Kalham or Lamata, based in Velo Litzibor. So in other words, the only responsibility, the only requirement to bring the carbon is only exclusively on the based in. And then Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Amar Mishmo, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, in the name of Rabbi Meir, Chatu Shisha Shvatim Vehem Ruba Shakal, O Shiva Afa Pishen Ruba Shakal Mevim Par. So in other words, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, he also subscribes to Rabbi Meir's viewpoint that it is based on his responsibility, but what he does is he allows either majority to determine, to be the determinant. Meaning that if I have either six of the Shvatim, which clearly is not a majority, that's just half the tribes, but of those six, that does represent the majority of the Jewish people, or I have seven, even though that does not represent the majority of the Jewish people, under those circumstances, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, in the name of Rabbi Meir, that also is going to require Beis Din to bring a carbon. Okay. The Adkan. The Adkan Devar HaBraisa. So we have now in the Braisa, so again, a representation of the three opinions that we saw back in the Mishnah, and with just one, with a little more explanation for each Shita, and on top of that also, a slightly different version of Rav Meir, which is why in the beginning I told you how many opinions are there in terms of who has to bring the who's required to bring the par. So certainly there are three opinions, and you know in Rav Meir it's like a 1A, 1B. So in other words, it can come out to four opinions, if you will.
In the case of the chelev and the blood, the court only told them about the chelev, so then they bring the blood. The court's not liable for the blood.
No, the court no. The court is only going to be liable for the chelev. But what the Gemara was deliberating was, what if we all forgot what Beis Din ruled, which we're going to start talking about in just a moment. Okay, so we have seen the three opinions in today's daf already twice. We saw it once in the Mishnah, we saw it once in the Braisa. Let's just quickly recap the three opinions. Again, I told you it's very helpful just to keep all the opinions lined up and remembered, and it'll make the rest of the daf go very smoothly. We have first the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Meir says that provided that it's the majority of the Jewish people, and presumably you need a majority, you need a double majority, both of the Jewish people and of the tribes, according to Rav Meir. That's a simple pshat Rav Meir. So under those circumstances, now there is an eligibility slash requirement to bring the carbon, the par helm davar shel tzibor, and it is squarely the responsibility of Beis Din. Beis Din brings it, Beis Din pays for it, there's only one carbon. Two.
Is it either or and?
Well, the simplest way to say it is and, because it's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar who says either or. Two, you have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's the responsibility of the people to bring the carbon. And furthermore, not only is it the responsibility of the people, but every shaver is going to be treated like its own separate kal, so its own separate congregation. So that means then that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have a scenario in which you have seven shvatim who sin, there's going to, each of those tribes are going to be bringing a carbon. On top of that, couple that with the fact that Rav Yehuda also subscribes to this principle of gerera, of dragging. The other tribes get dragged in as well. The other five tribes are going to be bringing a carbon as well. That is the sheet of Rav Yehuda. And then finally, the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says both. Both Beis Din and the people have to bring a carbon. He doesn't subscribe to the principle of gerera. So that means that according to Rabbi Shimon, if seven tribes were to be violating the erroneous ruling of Beis Din has a requirement to bring the carbon. The seven tribes have to bring it, bringing us to a total of eight. Those are the three shitas, both mentioned in the Mishnah and in the Braisa. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, it's just a small variation within the sheet of Rav Meir, where Rav Meir does require a majority in order for Beis Din to bring it, but it can be either a majority of the tribes or a majority of the people. Okay, Amar Mar. We're in the Gemara, we're in Hey Amud Aleph, we're now halfway through the Amud. And the Gemara now is going to dissect every position that we just mentioned in the Braisa, and give it more clarification. The Gemara here is now going to be quoting a Mishnah in Krisus. It's a Braisa. I got thrown up by the word Tidnan. So it's a Braisa in Krisus. In order to be eligible to bring a Parham Dava Shal Tzibor, we all have to remember what Beis Din ruled and what we did incorrectly based on the erroneous ruling of Beis Din. So the Gemara says that if not, so then there's no eligibility to bring a Parham Dava Shal Tzibor. The Gemara now points out, this seemingly is not going like Rabbi Eliezer. Let's see together the Braisa in Krisus. The Braisa in Krisus reads, Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Manafshech, Im Chelev Achal Chayev, Im Noser Achal Chayev. So, we have a scenario where a person ate a piece of fat. It was either Chelev or it was Noser, not sure. Now remember, for both of them, you're chayv krisos, meaning, and if you did either one of those b'shogeg, so under those circumstances, you have to bring a carbon chatas. You don't know which one you ate, but you ate one of the two. What's the halacha? The halacha, according to Rabbi Eliezer, says you bring a carbon chatas. When you put your hands on the animal and you do confession, you do vidui. So I'm really sorry. I'm not sure. I did something. But at least I can narrow it down to one of two Isurim in the Torah. So, okay. So I either ate Chelev or ate Nosar. Okay. So, according to Rabbi Eliezer, Manoshach, meaning, okay. In other words, you violated the Torah, you're just not sure which violation it was, but either of them would be Chayv Karban Chatzis, that's good. So now you're going
to... It's Halu for that, then.
No, it's not a Safik. Meaning, a Safik means I may or may not have violated the Torah. Here, I violated the Torah, I just don't know which violation. Okay, I understand. But Ashram Talu is where either I did or did not violate the Torah. Here, he violated the Torah. Just doesn't know which one. So the Gemara says so. Seemingly, what the first point that we learned together in the Brisa is not going like Rabbi Eliezer. That's the Pashtus. Okay? So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar Afilo Temer Rabbi Eliezer. But Rav Ashi says, no. I would tell you that even Rabbi Eliezer over there in Croesus would agree to the first point of our Brisa. Why? Because Shani Hacha, because over here it's different. Asher Chatu Aleha. The Torah, when describing Parallel Hell and Davish of Sibor, writes, Asher Chatu Aleha, that you have to know what the Chet was. Asam Nami. The Gemara says, Asher Chatabah. Gemara says, why do you think it's different? It's not different. When the Torah also describes the regular Chatos brought by an individual, it says, Asher Chatabah. You have to know how you sin. So, me violate Parallel Masasik. The Gemara says, no. I'll tell you why it's different. Because that Pasuk describing the Chatos of Yachid, that already is dedicated to a different drasha. And so therefore, there's no room to make the drasha by a regular chatas. By a regular chatas, we do have the words asher chataba, but that tells us halacha misasik. Quickly, what's the halacha misasik? The halacha misasik is that I violated the Torah, but I wasn't even planning on violating the Torah. Classic example, let's say, pick cucumbers right before Shabbos. On Shabbos, I go over to the field, I go over to my field. I see the cucumbers over there, I pick them up. And meanwhile, those were not the cucumbers I picked. Those happened to have been already connected to the ground. Okay, so I thought they were detached, and then I pull them, and I rip them up from the ground. That's a misasik. That's not even shogeg. In other words, I literally didn't know that I'd be violating Shabbos by doing this action. Under those circumstances, you'd be potter. And you'd be potter not only by Shabbos, you'd be potter by Kol HaTorah Kula. There are notable exceptions. They're the Arayos and Achilles Nevelis, meaning both in those two areas there's no Petur Misasik. But anyway, but okay. In other words, that pasuk is dedicated to the drasha of Misasik, and therefore it's not open and eligible to make another drasha. Okay, we're continuing now to discuss the various Tanaim and what is behind the opinions of the Tanaim. But the Gemara over here, Kedarka Bekodesh in its normal manner, is not going to be giving us so much Svara. The Gemara over here is going to be giving us Drushas. So here we go. My time with Rav Yehuda. We start off with the opinion of Rav Yehuda. What is the basis for the position of Rav Yehuda? How does he darshan the Pesukim? So Arba, Kasavar Arba Kalik, see if it says Kahal four times in the Pesukim. Now it doesn't say four times, it says only two. How we get from two to four? Because it says Ha Kahal. The Hey is darshan, the Kahal is darshan. That's two times over. So that's four times. So Kahal Kahal. So, I'm sorry, kahal, ha-kahal, kahal, ha-kahal, so that's the four. Chad le-kaiva kol kavakal. So again, we're now expounding the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So the first kahal is there to tell us that every kahal is going to be chayv, meaning every shape is going to be chayv. Two. Chad le-rat tuli be-beisen ha-maisa tuli be-kal. In order for there to be a requirement of the Parhelm Davish at Sibor, the psak has to come from a beisen, and the people have to be violating it. Meaning, the roles over here are very clear. Beisen is issuing the psak, and the people have to be violating it. Chad LeGreira, the third kahal is coming to teach us the point of Greira, that if seven of the shvatim are violating the ruling of Beis Din, there each of those shvatim are going to bring, plus the other five are going to bring as well because of Greira. And Chad LeShevet Shasa Baraz Beis Dino. And the fourth drasha, according to Rebbe Yehuda, is that if the Shevet follows the ruling of their Beis Din, according to Rebbe Yehuda, that also is going to bring about a requirement of the Parhelm Davish al Sibor. That is the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, two.
Rabbi, yeah. Who issued the Psak when the seven Shvatim?
Beis Din HaGadol.
Right, so why doesn't that include all? Why do you need Greira for? That should include everybody.
No, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, it is a requirement of the Kal, not a requirement of Beis Din. And the Kal, presumably without the principle Greira, only refers to those who actually sin. So for the Shvatim who actually sin, they're going to bring a carbon. Each one of them, and those who didn't will not. Greira tells us that even the shvatim who didn't sin, meaning they didn't, right? They. In other words, it's a kal responsibility, and we our shevet didn't do anything. So why should we bring a carbon? And that's the principle of Greira in this regard. Okay, two, the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Tlasa Kalik Siv. So hakahal kal hakahal. So what Rabbi Shimon does is he deducts one of the drushas. Why? Because me'enei akal orche dekrahu. Because when the pasuk says me'enei akal, that's not an area to darshan because that's not superfluous. It's not extra. People, when they talk, they say, from the eyes of so-and-so. So the hay over there is not an additional hay. It's not extra, and therefore not entitled to be drasha. So now we're down to three. So now we're down to three drashas. So according to Rabbi Shimon, one is to require every shevet to bring a karban. Utrei achrini. And as far as the other two kahals are concerned, Nemar lamatakal, v'nemar lamalakal, lahalam beizdin imakal, avkan beizdin imakal. That's to create the gzera shava link between pasuk yud gimel and pasuk yud aleph. So just like it's beizdin together with the kal, that means that both are required to bring the karban, both beizdin and the congregation. But in other words, clearly, as we already pointed out, but now you get to see this in drasha form. According to Rabbi Shimon, he doesn't subscribe to the principle of gerera. So that means that according to Rabbi Shimon, there is if seven shvatim sin, each one of the shvatim are going to bring a karban, but the other five are not. And on top of that, also Basin is going to bring a karban. And finally, the opinion of Reb Meir kal hakal lo darish. He doesn't darshan kal hakal hukach trei kal exive. So that means that we're down now to two according to Reb Meir. So mi baye le l'nemar l'matakal l'venemar l'malakal malahalam beizim v'lot zibor afkan beizim v'lot zibor. So in other words, then from there he deduces, again, same idea, it's gzera shava, but it's not and, but it's rather exclusively. Since we know that the ruling only can be issued by Basin are the ones, are the only body, the only entity that can issue a ruling, therefore they're the only entity that can bring the karban as well. And finally, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, my time, eh? Now, what's behind Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar? Now remember, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar gives us a small variation within Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says that's Basin's responsibility if the majority sin. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar agrees with that, but it doesn't have to be a simple majority. It could be a partial majority. How do I know that? Siv me'enei ha'ida, alma miyuta. It says me'enei ha'ida. The word me'enei gives us the indication that it's only partial. Uksiv ki l'chol ha'am v'shkaga. But at the same time, you need kol ha'am. So in other words, from the Torah itself, we get a little bit confused whether you require a majority or you don't require a majority. So the Gemara says, lememar deruba in miyuta lo, haketzan. So how do I balance this, the two ideas expressed in the Torah that I need a majority? No, I don't need a majority. So the Gemara says, haketzan. So the Gemara says, asu shisha vein ruba shakal, o shiva afa bishain ruba shakal chayava. If six of the shvatim were violated, but they do represent population-wise a majority, or if seven shvatim violated, but they don't represent the majority, they are the majority in terms of shvatim, under either of those circumstances, you're going to be chayav. Okay. Top of Hey Amud Beis. Okay, so we have now expressed and articulated once again the opinions of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Huda, and even the variation within the Shita of Rabbi Meir, so the Gemara expounded it again. The Gemara didn't give so much svara. The Gemara gave its classic drashas. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Meir, Dara, Tuli, Bebeis, and Amaisa, Tuli, Bekal, Menalu. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon and according to Rabbi Meir, they agree to the idea that there has to be clear roles. There is a delineation of roles. Basin's the one offering the psak, and the people are the ones that are following it. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Meir, where does that come from? Menalu. So the Gemara says, Amar be'am akravim, v'hayai me'inei ha'ida nesasa. So according to Abaye, it's from the pasuk of me'inei ha'ida nesasa lushkaga. The word nesasa is written in the nifal. And that means to say that it is the act of the people that is causing the karban. Rava amar, l'chol ha'am bishkaga. And Rava says it's based on the pasuk of l'chol ha'am bishkaga. Now, observation. Both of the psukim that were just quoted by Abaye and Rava are not located in the parsha of Parham Davar. Meaning it's not in Vayikra Perek Dalet. They're both quoting from Bamidbar Perek Tezvav. Meaning the parsha that has to do with Avodah Zarah. Later the Gemara is going to wonder, how can you arrive at a conclusion regarding Parhalam Davar, and meanwhile be quoting a pasuk from Parshas Bamidbar. From Sefer Bamidbar. Stay tuned, we're going to be discussing that in just a moment. However, two psukim, Tzricha, the Gemara actually says that both psukim are actually necessary. I might have thought that it's true even if it's just in the minority because of the word me'enei. L'achiksiv l'chol ambishkaga, therefore l'chol ambishkaga tells me that it must be a majority. Ikasav l'chol ambishkaga hava amina ad avdi beisdin bahad de ruba. I might have thought that it has to be, beisdin also has to be following their own ruling. L'achiksiv vaya im me'enei ha'ada ha'ida necessar l'shkaga. No, it has to be the people following the ruling. There is no requirement for beisdin to follow their own ruling in order to bring about the parhelim davar. Now the Gemara finally makes the observation. Well, these psukim that we just quoted is in the parsha of Avodah Zarah, meaning in Shlach. So the Gemara says, Yafina Me'ine Me'edeh. The Gemara says, okay, but we have Gzeira Shava, Me'ine mentioned both in Parshas Vayikra and in Parshas Shlach. And basically what the Gzeira Shava does is it creates a hyperlink between the two. And so now, whatever we're saying regarding the parsha of Avodah Zarah is also going to be true by the standard parhelm davar shel tzibur. Okay. We're on Hamad Vez. We are about a quarter of the way down on the Amud of the two dots. The Gemara continues, Hora Beis Din shel Echad, v'chule. Let's say a tribal Beis Din issues a ruling. So, in the Mishnah, we had a machlokus between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, whether or not that shevet is going to be required to bring a parhelm davar shel tzibur. Rabbi Yehuda says yes, and the Chachamim say no. Ibai lehu. So the Gemara now wants to understand the following question: Shevet echad le Rabbi Yehuda, behoraz based in Hagadol. Let's say you have one shevet according to Rabbi Yehuda who sin, but doing so not under the ruling of their court, but under the ruling of the based in Hagadol. So now, Mi maisi shar shvatim olam. Do we have the principle of Greira? Meaning, Rav Yehuda introduces us to his idea of Greira, the other tribes get dragged along. You'll notice that every time we gave the example of Rav Yehuda and this principle of Greira, we always gave the example where 7 of the 12 sinned, and therefore the other 5 are now coming along for the ride. The Gemara's question now, right now, is as follows. Is that 7 a hard number? Or, according to Rav Yehuda and this principle of Greira, is if you have any of the Shvatim sin, do the other Shvatim come along for the ride? Is Greira a principle for Rav Yehuda based on majority? Or is it just simply based on if one is Chayv HaKarban, they're all going to be Chayv HaKarban? Me Amrin and Shiva Shvatim, Hu Demaisi Shar Shvatim Ba'adayu, Mishum Di'ika Ruba. The Gemara just articulates the question as I just presented it. Is it a function of Rov? Ava Chad Sheva Deleika Ruba Lo, Oduma Lo Shna. Okay, so this is the Gemara's question. Tashma, ma hein mivien. Par echad. Rabbi Shimon omer shnei parim. Okay. The Gemara says, look, we have the following brisa. Not much to work with, admittedly. So, but the brisa says, what do they bring? So, according to the Tanakhama, par echad. According to Rabbi Shimon, shnei parim. We don't got a lot to work with. But, okay, the Gemara is going to work in its classic investigative style. But let's figure it out. So, b'mayiskinah. So, what are we talking about? Ilei meshachatu shiva. So, the Gemara says, well, did seven shvatim follow the ruling of Beis Din? So, Rabbi Shimon taman yabaye. Well, the Gemara says, well, that can't be because Rabbi Shimon then would require 8 karbanos, as we already pointed out a number of times today. Ela dechat sheva echad. So, therefore, what happened over here is one shevet sin. So, b'may. Ibar ras Beis Din. If we're talking about an individual shevet's Beis Din, Rabbi Shimon Leislev. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold to that concept. That concept of a shevet bringing a carbon based on their shevet's Beis Din, that is only within Rabbi Yehuda. None of the other Tanaim agreed to that. So Elalav, but Raz Beis Din Agadol. So therefore it's talking about the Haraz Beis Din Agadol. So now, deductively, what we just arrived at is the case in the Braisa must be the Beis Din Agadol issued a psak, one shevet followed that psak. Now according to Rabbi Shimon, perfect. The Beis Din brings a carbon, the Shevet brings a carbon. And remember, Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to Greira. That's good. Now, Vitana Kama, money. So now we have deduced the case. Our next point of deduction. It's just great. The Gemara's investigative style is just, it's meticulous. It's so good. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we have the case. What is now going to be regarding the identity? Who is the authorship? Who is the Tana Kama? So the Gemara says, "Mani inem Rabbi Meir Haru Babai." Now you know it can't be Rabbi Meir because Rabbi Meir requires a majority of the Jewish people to violate the Beis Din's ruling, then and only then is there a requirement to Beis Din bring the problem Davar Shetzibor. El Lav Rabbi Yehuda. So we know it's not Rabbi Shimon because he's the second opinion of the Beis. We know it's not Rabbi Meir because can't be. So therefore, we got no one else to work with. It's got to be Rabbi Yehuda. So Kigon Shechat Shevet Echad. So what do we have over here? Now we have deductively reasoned that the author of the Tanakhama is Rabbi Yehuda. The case is where Beis Din HaGadol issued a ruling and one Shevet followed it, and the result is one carbon. So now we have just, if all this is correct, we have just therefore concluded that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if I have the Beis Din HaGadol ruling and one Shevet following it, so there's only one carbon and there's no Gera, meaning that the Gera principle is only going to be in a circumstance where you have at least seven Shvatim violating the ruling of following the erroneous ruling of Beis Din. Amrei. So to that, the Bnei Yeshiva said, we could argue with some of your deduction. It could be that maybe six of the tribes sin and they represent the majority. And as far as the Tanakhama is concerned, so Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Ditanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Omer Mishmah Chatushisha Vein Ruben Shokal, oh, Shiva Afapisha and Ruben Shokal, Mevian Par. So the Gemara says, comes out now, that if we work within the variated position of Reb Meir, otherwise known as Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who says that you don't need a full majority, but either six Shvatim or seven, but not the majority, so under those circumstances, they're going to be bringing a par. That could be the case in the Braisa. And as far as the Shita of Rabbi Shimon, yeah, Rabbi Shimon will tell you that you'll bring one for the people and one for the basin. Okay. So and if all this is right, so then we don't have a proof. Tashma the Gemara says, well, let's try this again. Again, the question on the table is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, if I have one shevet sin, so does he subscribe to this principle of Gerera? The other Shvatim getting dragged in. So Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shevet Shasa Baraz Beis Dino, also Shevet Chayev Shasa Kol Shvatim Peturim. Baraz Beis Din HaGadol, Afilu Shar HaShvatim, Shar Shvatim Chayavim. So Shema Minah. So the Gemara says that if a Shevet is following their Beis Din's ruling, so that is one carbon for that Shevet. But if one Shevet is following the ruling of the Beis Din HaGadol, all the Shvatim have to bring it. This Braisa, Shema Minah, this Braisa clearly sets the record straight. That Rabbi Yehuda holds to the principle of Gera, even if it's one Shevet. I'm Rav Ashi in Masnitz Nami Deka. Diktani, look back at the Mishnah. Read the Mishnah carefully. You're going to see this in the Mishnah. V'asu asu ha-shevet apiyam, asu ha-shevet chayev, v'shar kol shvatim puturim, lam l'misnei shar shvatim puturim. Why does the Mishnah have to add the extra words and the other shvatim or putur? Because ha-tana, asu ha-shevet chayev, v'kevin d'tana, asu ha-shevet chayev, mimele yadana shashar shvatim puturim. We should know this already, shouldn't we? Ela kamash malan de baharaz beiz dino. Who dishar shvatim peturim? Ava baraz beis din hagadol afilo shar shvatim chayavim shma mina. When you read the Mishnah carefully, the reason why the Mishnah at the end articulated very clearly that the other shvatim are going to be pater only because it's the shevet's excuse me, only because it's the shevet's basin that's issuing the ruling. But if it's the basin hagadol issuing the ruling, under those circumstances, the other shvatim would have to bring as well. Another question. Rabbi Shimon mi maisi Allah. If according to the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, now remember, Rabbi Shimon takes a hybrid approach, which is yes and yes. The Beis Din has to bring a carbon and the people have to bring the carbon. Now you'll notice in the Mishnah, in Rabbi Shimon's example, Rabbi Shimon gave the example where seven of the Shvatim sin. So how many carbons do you have to bring in total? Eight. Eight carbons in total. Meaning seven carbons for the seven that sin. He doesn't subscribe to Gera. And one being brought by Beis Din. Question now on the table. According to Rabbi Shimon, again, basically the same question. Same style of question. Is that seven a hard number? Is the reason why the Mishnah gave the example of seven Shvatim is because according to Rabbi Shimon, it has to be seven Shvatim, or according to Rabbi Shimon, could it be that you just simply need a Shevet, and then we'll have the Shevet bringing the carbon, the people, and the Beis Din bringing the carbon? Tashma, the Gemara says, well, let's go back to a brisa that we saw already once earlier today. Mahein mivin, what do they bring? Parichad Rabbi Shimon Amar Shnei Parim. So let's skip the parentheses. Shnei Parim, Shmona Parim Bayin. Now, what do you mean? Two. Eight, right? Now, the reason why it's not eight is because, presumably, it's not seven Shvatim who sinned, it was only one Shevet who sinned. And it's one Shevet who sinned, and the Brisa is telling us very clearly that the Shevet is going to be bringing their part, and the Basin is going to be bringing their part. Over my Elam, Abaraz, Beis Dino, Rabbi Shimon Leisle. And the Gemara just simply echoes the sentiment that we already expressed earlier. We're not talking about the Shevet's Basin because Rabbi Shimon doesn't subscribe to that idea. That idea is exclusively within Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So Ella, so it must be Baraz Beis and Agadol. So it must be the Beis and Agadol's Psak. The Tisbro, the Gemara says, okay, but does this really make sense? Tanakama Mani, who is the Tanakama? E Rabbi Meir Rubabai, because according to Rabbi Meir, I need the majority of E Rabbi Yehuda Shar Shvatim Nami Maisi. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, who subscribes to Gerera, all the Shvatim are going to bring. So the Gemara says, Hamani? So the Gemara says, yeah, but we've already established, we can identify who the Tanakama is, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Yichud D'Tanya. Meaning it goes like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, like we expressed earlier, that it doesn't have to be a overwhelming majority. It could either be a majority of people, or it could be a majority of the Shvatim. Tashma, the Gemara said, once again, wants to clarify. Again, the question on the table, according to Rabbi Shimon, when he says that it's both based in the people, do I need the majority of the Shvatim, or would one Shevet be enough? The Chachamim say that you're not chayv until it's a psak of the Beis Din. Man, Chachamim. Now, whose position is this? Elim Reb Meir Rubabai. And according to Reb Meir, you need the rov, meaning a full majority. Elalav Rabbi Shimoni. So it must be the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. But that means then that according to Rabbi Shimon, even if it's one Shevet, so the even if it's one Shevet, you're going to have that Shevet bringing carbon and the Beis Din bringing carbon as well. So the so Shema Minah, the Gemara says, so therefore we can safely conclude. V'Rabbi Yehuda, V'Rabbi Shimon, Shevet Echad, Dikrei Ka Manalu. Now, Reb Meir does not subscribe to the opinion that a Shevet is considered a Ka. Fine. So we'll leave Reb Meir out of the discussion. But both according to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda and according to Rabbi Shimon, every Shevet is considered a Ka. Where does that come from? So Amrei, so the Gemara is going to try to get to this conclusion based on two different sources. One is a pasuk in Divrei HaYamim. The pasuk says, "Vayamod Yoshafa b'Kal Yehuda b'Yushalayim ha'chadasha." It says Kal Yehuda. Now Yehuda obviously is just but a tribe, and yet the Navi, when describing Yehuda, calls it a kahal. So you see that the word kahal can be a reference to just simply a tribe, a shevet. Now, as long as we're here, as long as we quote the pasuk, so the word chadasha, it's a striking word. So they're sitting in Yerushalayim HaChadasha. New Yerushalayim, Yehoshaphat, is not the melech who built the Beis HaMikdash. So what does it mean that it's a new, it's a new courtyard? So the new Beis HaMikdash. So my Chadasha, Amar Rav Yochanan, Chichu Dvarim V'amru Tzvul Yom, Al Yikaneis B'machane Leviya. A new halacha, a new gzera was enacted, that if you are a Tful Yom, which means that you were Tame, you toveled in the mikvah, by tonight you will be Tahor, and you still have, between the Tefillah and the nighttime, you have a little bit of residual Tama, so you cannot go into Machane Leviya, you cannot go into the second camp. The second camp in the Beis HaMikdash is represented by Har HaBayis, so you cannot go into the Har HaBayis area if you are a Tful Yom. Maskev L'Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Mimai Demashani Yerushalayim Dehavi Nami Binyamin. Now the Gemara says, I don't know if this proof is so clear cut, because we're learning from the Pasuk is that Kahal is a reference to Yehuda. It could be that we're talking about the province of Yehuda, which is really represented by two Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin. So I don't know if it's such a good proof. So maybe let's go back to Sefer Bereishis. Let's go back to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov, I'm going to cause you to be fruitful and to multiply, and I'm going to make you kahal amim. At this point in Yaakov's life, he had 11 sons. He only had one more to go. Manis yaled le'ayishaita Binyamin. Now, who was going to be born from that point going forward? Binyamin. And Shema Minah, hachikam rechman, manis yaled la'hashtach kahal achrina. You're going to get another kahal. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Yaakov Avinu. So you see that one shevet is called the kahal. Amalei rev sheva le'rev kahana, adama hachikam le'rechmana. And so the Gemara says, not necessarily. This could be the simple pshat in the pasuk. Lechim esyalei binyamin, hu da'avishnei masar shvatim, dimiskares kahal. No. It could be that when Binyamin's born, now you and your children are now considered a kahal. So Amalei Ella, 12 Shvatim Ikur Kahal, 11 Shvatim Lo Ikur Kahal. So you mean to tell me that only when you have 12 tribes it's considered a Kahal, but if you have 11 tribes it's not considered a Kahal? But that can't be, because go back to the Pesukim in Divrei Hayamim. The Pesukim in Divrei Hayamim clearly showed us that you can have less than 12, meaning even if you want to tell me it's 2, but you can have less than 12, and that's called a Kahal. So we see that the word Kahal does not, you don't need all 12 Shvatim in order for us to be considered a Kahal. Okay. So basically what comes out now is that both Pesukim actually serve as the Raya, that even one Sheva can be considered a Kahal. Okay, so where do we stand right now? So we were introduced, the first mission we did today had to do with the idea that a parhelm davashal sibra is only when Basun made a mistake and the people made a mistake. I need a mistake on both parts, both on the psak and on the following of that psak. And then for the duration of today, we went through whose requirement is it to bring the parhelm davashal sibra. Reb Meir says Basun. Reb Yehuda says the people, meaning the shvatim. Reb Shimon says both Basun and the shvatim. And that is obviously an oversimplification of today's daf. But that's it. That's what we learned today in today's daf. Rabbi Yehuda is the accepted position. Yes.
When the majority of the kahal is coming, it's Pesach.
Yeah.
So how do we use it, by Shvatim or by people?
That's by people. That's determined by people, not by Shvatim. But over here, though, the carbon is a kahal carbon. It's a carbon that's for the people, for the masses. But Karban Pesach is every individual's responsibility.
What was that one?